Have you ever been on a paranormal investigation? Did you ever want to spend the night in a haunted house? Tonight, meet an author and former law enforcement officer as he shares his experiences investigating active locations in Eastern North Carolina. Welcome to the Peep Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Maroc, and on this episode, we're talking about a subject near and dear to my heart, paranormal investigations. But first, if you're listening to this episode soon after it publishes, I want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. If Christmas isn't your jam, I hope you had a wonderful winter solstice. Whatever you celebrate this time of year, may it bring you joy. If I could be so bold as to ask for a gift from you, I'd ask for you to share this podcast with a friend you think would enjoy it. That's it. Just share. They might even consider it a gift too. Now, let me introduce you to Mark A. Anderson. Mark is a former law enforcement officer in the Air Force, Navy, and a police department in Virginia. He's now retired and has written several books, including Who Cares? An Autobiography. He is the founder of NC Paranormal Research, based in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and is actively involved in paranormal investigations. Let's dive in with Mark. Hi, Mark. Thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I always start my interviews with the question, how did you get into the paranormal? So what is your story?
Okay. And I did write a autobiography explaining my life, although a boring it was. It's called Who Cares? It's on Amazon. And I stipulate in there where I grew up basically in a haunted house. And I gave some examples of the hauntings that occurred in the house that I grew up in.
Cool. So was it your entire childhood or just part of your childhood?
My whole life was with the paranormal one way or another.
Okay. Can you give us an example of some of those experiences?
One time, when I was living in Missouri, my wife at the time and I were sitting on a couch, and all of a sudden the curtains blew and a big wind came past us. But the doors where the curtains were on, the sliding doors, were closed. There was no wind coming in. But you could physically see the curtains blow, and you could physically feel the cool air hit us. That night, my brother's mother-in-law died.
Oh, wow.
And spirits have a way of saying goodbye to those who are receptive to them.
That is true. I do believe that too. So how did you make the transition from experiencer to investigator?
Well, I spent a lot of my life as a law enforcement officer, so the investigation part was embedded in me. I was security police in the Air Force. I was master at arms in the Navy. I was Department of Veterans Affairs police officer. So there was a lot of years of investigating crime and stuff. What got me started in a paranormal investigation was watching all these shows and saying to myself that they're not really investigating. They're just showing for an audience. I keep saying I could do better. So when I moved to Elizabeth City, was when I decided to join a group there. But that group wasn't doing anything at all. I started ordering equipment and stuff, but we weren't doing anything. So I said, okay, I'll create the group. And I created the website and the Facebook page. And that's where I started the group.
How long ago was that?
In 2011.
Okay. So you've been doing it for about a decade.
Mm-hmm.
When you go in and investigate, especially since you have a law enforcement background, I would guess that you're probably on the more thorough side than a lot of groups out there. What are some of the processes you use when you do an investigation?
Well, I have a DVR and infrared cameras. So when I first go, well, when a person first tells me they have an issue, I do a walkthrough and I take pictures in the daytime and I take readings for any type of electromagnetic fields. So I know, for instance, let's say in this room, there's a strong electromagnetic field. What's causing it? In one situation here in Goldsboro, the problem was a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
It was putting out a tremendous amount of electromagnetic fields. But it was in another room. It was in the kitchen and was pushing it through to the living room.
Wow.
So I knew if anything occurred for that living room, that it would be because of that refrigerator. So you look at the physical aspects of what's causing the situations. And then you go ahead and take pictures and you get a good idea of what's going on in the house. So when I come back for the investigation, that's usually at nighttime. And some people will ask, why do you do it at nighttime? It's not that ghosts only come out at night.
Right.
It's that your infrared cameras can catch them better. And because the sound is more calm, you could catch EVPs better. So I'll walk around the house at nighttime and get an idea where to put the cameras. And I could put up to 8 cameras for the one DVR. And then we set them up and I start pairing people up and send them to different rooms and they start trying to get evidence.
So when they're trying to get evidence, are they doing electronic voice phenomena, EVP sessions?
They are. Each one will have a digital recorder. Each one will have a camera. Each one will have whatever equipment they want to use. I bought quite a bit of equipment, and they could use the puck, which will take an EVP and change it into an audible, or they could use any one of the different equipment I have to collect evidence. I even have an SLS camera that will video the spirits, turn them into stick figures.
Well, I think I've seen some clips of that sort of output before. Have you found that to be reliable?
I feel it is if you could get a reaction. For instance, one of the first days I bought it, I was testing it out. Then I went into my daughter's room and all of a sudden the stick figure showed up. And I said, raise your right hand. And you can physically see the right hand come up. I said, okay, raise your left hand. You can see the left hand come up. And I said, could you move from the chair over to whatever? And you could see slowly, but it moved.
Wow.
So yes, that's physical evidence that I captured.
So this was in your current house? Is this the house that you grew up in, or you just happen to have spirits in this house too?
Oh, this house has several spirits in it. I think most houses have spirits that pass through. But sometimes you'll find a house that a spirit is staying just because. I went to Crybaby Lane once, and I met a young spirit by the name of Victoria. And that's where the orphanage got burnt down. I don't know if you know about it in Raleigh.
Yes, that's a really popular legend around here.
Mm-hmm. Well, the old tree that has the swing set chain wrapped around it, that area had a large amount of electromagnetic field, although there's no electricity there. And it went straight to red. I started talking. I says, okay, can you back up a bit? Then it went down to green. I says, okay, come on forward. Then went to red, and so on and so forth. And the image I got was a young girl, maybe about 10, and that her name was Victoria.
Now, when you say, sorry, when you say the image you got, are you talking about psychically, or do you mean on this SLS camera?
No, I didn't have the SLS camera at the time.
Okay.
I sometimes pick things up. This is cool. The best way to say it.
I totally understand that. I'm an empath and intuitive, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, I believe she attached herself to me because I felt her following me around my house for about a month or so.
Wow. So when you realized she was there, did you tell her it was time to move on?
No. Because I'm not sure what moving on is. I know people say you got to go to the light and you got to move on. And I don't, until somebody in the spirit world can tell me, I'm not following that theory. Mm-hmm. But she did eventually go somewhere. But I am a father, and I think she sensed the father in me.
That would make sense, especially coming from an orphanage area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be assuming that she was one of the children from the orphanage. She could have just been passing through as well, but it would definitely make sense through that storyline. So that's really interesting. What have been some of your favorite investigations, whether it be because you picked up some, you know, really great anomalies, or maybe it was just the location appeals to you for some reason? Like, can you tell us a few of your favorites?
Camden, North Carolina, there is a jail. And if you go to my YouTube, just look up NC Paranormal Research, and then look up Camden Jail, NC Paranormal Research. I don't want to tell you what happened, but I want you to watch the video because you'll be surprised. That's my all-time favorite. Another favorite is also in the Camden, North Carolina area. I was in a house that was the first brick house in North Carolina. That's how old it was.
Wow.
And I was investigating the attic. And the spirit made a very loud thud. I'm not sure how they do that, but sometimes they can make a crashing sound, or like something was thrown on the floor or dropped on the floor type of sound.
Mm-hmm.
It was picked up not only on our recorder, but the floor below us, where there was another set of investigators, caught it on their recorder. And you could hear them say, "What are they doing upstairs?" when they heard the thud. So those two places were pretty good. There's a theater up in, I think it was Edenton, I did. And my investigator got scratched. There was an Outer Banks place where one of my investigators got scratched. And there was up in Elizabeth City, I did a house. And the two females investigators were talking. Mm-hmm. And all you heard was crash. And you hear, oh, no. And they come running down the hallway. And they thought something was thrown at them. But wow. We couldn't find anything thrown. But so we got the audio.
That's interesting. They thought something in the room was thrown at them, but there was no evidence of anything actually having been thrown.
Right. And again, wow. How the spirits could create the sound.
Right. Very interesting. So,
those were some exciting investigations.
So do you have any favorite EVP that you've got over the years?
I do. We did the Albemarle Museum in Elizabeth City. And you could hear in the audio where my investigator said she felt like she was touched. And not too long after that, I got an EVP with a gentleman. And he said, get out. So presumably he was pushing her out the door. That's how she felt the touch.
Wow. So he was a little grumpy, huh?
He didn't want them at the house. The house was a very old house. It belonged to a famous person. I can't remember exactly who or what, but I know that they took it apart and brought it into the museum in pieces and then put it back together in its original form. So apparently somebody was attached to that house.
And you said this was in the Albemarle Museum?
Yeah, that's in Elizabeth City.
I'm going to have to go check that out. That's interesting.
I don't know if the house is still there. I couldn't see them taking it back apart again.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, plus it damages it every time you have to move it.
Right.
Yeah, there was another one. Where was it? I think it was in Virginia. I did a house. I used to live in Elizabeth City, so going to Virginia was no biggie. Mm-hmm. And I got an audio of apparently a child. And all you could hear is, Mama. That's it.
Interesting. Was there a story attached to the house that there would be a child there?
No, but you know, this land has been here forever.
Right.
And this house built on it. And then some of them fall down, get ruined. And another house is built and so on and so forth. So you don't know, you know, how long the spirit has been roaming around. If the spirit was attached to the house, if the spirit was roaming through looking for her mommy, mm-hmm. When all you get is that and no other evidence, you don't have anything to work on.
True. Of the places that you've investigated, is there anyone that stands out as maybe more active than others?
Well, my opinion of a haunted house is a house with poltergeists, where the guys are kind of mean and trying to chase you out. A lot of the houses I investigate were not that. I've not found any demons. I've not found any poltergeists. I've not seen anything move in front of me. I have none of them that really stand out in that respect.
Did you want to talk a little bit more about your book or your group or anything?
Well, the group's name is NC Paranormal Research. And the problem I am having is getting actually dedicated people. I tell them, I have them fill out a form, a questionnaire form, and stipulates in there. And I tell them, I need you to download the app of Band. And I need you to check it because I'm posting things there and I want you to reply. And I just had a situation where we're supposed to have a meeting on Saturday and nobody's replying. I'm posting it. Meeting Saturday, who's coming? Nobody replies. And so I end up kicking people out. It's really hard to find dedicated people who are actually out there trying to find places to investigate, trying to get people into the group, and being very dedicated. So that's one issue I'm having with the group. But like I said, it's NC Paranormal Research. We're always looking for dedicated people. If they were to send me an email, support@ncparanormalresearch.com, and say they're interested, then I'll send them a questionnaire.
Okay. I will make sure to put that information in the show notes and a link to your YouTube channel so people can look up that video about the Camden jail, sorry, and see what you're talking about as far as one of your favorites.
Yeah. Okay. As for my books, I've written several, actually. The nonfiction is the autobiography, which is Who Cares on Amazon. But I've written fiction books about the paranormal, which could actually happen, but I consider it fiction. I wrote a trilogy. The first one is The Homes of Sun, HOMZA. The second one is He's Alive, But. And then the third is Homes of Three. So okay. They're all on Amazon. And I've written children's books too and a tween book.
Cool. That's awesome. I'm a writer myself. I know how much work goes into coming up with a good story and publishing. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Actually, the scariest parts of my books were actual nightmares I had. And I thought about them and I said, wow, this is good for a book. Yeah. So I had some scary nightmares in my lifetime. You'll see if you read books.
Yeah. So just real quick about nightmares. Have you found that your nightmares, or you have more nightmares when you are living in a haunted location, or is it just something that you've always kind of dealt with?
They're predominantly when I was growing up, as I can't remember having a nightmare within the last couple decades, actually.
That's good. I mean, that usually typically nightmares come from your subconscious. So if you haven't had one in a long time, that tends to mean, in my understanding, that things are pretty calm under the surface. So that's always a good thing.
I guess. Well, older, the nightmares were about my children. You know how you have you never want to lose your child in the mall or something like that. And those were my nightmares, losing a child. So in adult life, because it's my concern. It's always been my concern that somebody will steal them, or you left them somewhere and forgot about them, or something like that. Something that you never really would do. And it's a fear that's deep inside you and occasionally comes out in your dreams.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
I guess that's about it. Okay. If you look at the videos, you'll see a lot of orbs. And you have to determine if it's an actual orb or if it's a bug or dust.
Right.
So that's why when I go into a house, all the heat and air conditioning is off. No fans are on, nothing, so that nothing kicks it up. Problem with that is carpeting collects a lot of dust. So you walk across it, you're going to see dust flying, because the IR cameras pick it up very, very well.
Yeah, I've had the same experience.
There are times, there's an investigation I did in Elizabeth City, and you could see the orb come down the hallway, make a 90 degrees to the left, went into the bathroom, and then all of a sudden come out of the bathroom wall and went straight towards the camera. And then gone.
That's a little different.
Yeah, that I know was an orb.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's on videos as well on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I will definitely link to that YouTube channel for sure. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your stories with my listeners. I really appreciate it. Thanks again to Mark for sharing his experiences with us. And thank you for listening. If you have an idea for a show topic, you can fill out the contact form at peeppodcast.com. That's peeppodcast.com. Remember, that stands for People Experiencing Everyday Paranormal. If I can find a study about it, I'll be happy to use it. Special thanks to the listeners who have submitted topic ideas. Also, if you're interested in sharing your own personal stories of paranormal experiences, I'd love to have you on the show. It can be as anonymous as you'd like. You can keep up with the show on its Facebook page, facebook.com/peeppodcast. We also have a group linked from that page in case you're interested in joining the conversation. One thing to note is that I only approve group members who answer the questions. And unfortunately, Facebook doesn't keep a list of people who'd be interested in being on the show. So if you said yes to that question, please get in touch through the website. If you like the podcast, please give it some rating love on your favorite podcast app. Share it with friends and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Doing so will also help the podcast be found by others. Special thanks to everyone who has given the show some love. I really appreciate it. The Peep Podcast is 100% free to enjoy, but it's not free for me to create. So like many other independent podcasters, I'll happily accept donations. If you're interested in supporting the show financially, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/NicoleMaroc. The Patreon account is also an option, but Buy Me a Coffee does not require a monthly commitment. All donations will be received with extreme gratitude. No matter how you support the show, listening, telling others about it, financial assistance, or any other way, I always appreciate your being here. Thanks again for listening. Stay safe and be well.